I have some great news for you guys today. A miracle will happen in this place today. And I mean it. A miracle will happen in this place. We are not, why don't we just close the doors? And because no one is leaving today before a miracle that happens. I'm going to tell you this because in front of you right now, and I didn't know I was going to share this until just a few seconds ago, right in front of you, a miracle just happened. Because I wasn't even supposed to be born. I was supposed to be aborted before I was even born. I wasn't even supposed to come and see life. And when I was given, when I was born, I lived in a place where it was very common for someone like me to have their life ended before even they reached their 20s. Matter of fact, that was spoken over me so many times that you will never live to see your 20s. You will never even live to be a success. You'll never do anything. You'll never achieve anything. You'll never be able to get rid of the habits, the bad habits you have. You'll never get rid of the sins you have. There was a death sentence, whether it was physical death or spiritual death, there was a death sentence that was spoken over me, but somehow, by the grace of God, here I am in front of you, about to be 42 years old. I have two wonderful children, amazing wife, and not that's all great, but more importantly, that I am a child of God. This is a miracle. And let me tell you, I'm going to read you a story today that there was another death sentence that was given over someone's life. And Jesus found a way to dismiss that case against her. So I want you to be ready, because every case that was built against you in Jesus' mighty name will be what? Will be destroyed. Will be dismissed. Amen? Let's get to our Bibles, John 8, from 1 to 11. It says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. A little bit of background. In chapter 7, Jesus is now in Jerusalem, and you know, he didn't want to, you know, he took a couple of days. There was a festival, the festival Tabernacles, yeah. So he was there, and it took him a couple of days, and then he started sharing, and then the Pharisees, the priests, and the religious leaders started opposing him. They didn't like him very much, so that was a tough day. They go to their homes. Supposedly, Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives. So, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives at dawn. He appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought him in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such woman." Here is their death sentence. "Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Verse 9, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and live your and leave your life of sin." Let's bow our hearts before God for a minute and just ask God to open your eyes. It's not about what I'm going to say. It's not about how I deliver the message. It's about what the Holy Spirit has for us. And God has so much for us today. God is ready to move. God is ready to perform miracles. God is ready to give you something that you never imagined. In Isaiah 64, it says that you have done wonders, wonders, and amazing things that we never thought of. And God is ready to do the same in our midst today. Amen? So ask him today. Ask him, say, "Lord, I surrender my heart today. I give it all to you. I give it all to you. Come and speak to me. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I said, this was Jerusalem. Jesus went back to the temple. The religious leaders and the Pharisees and all of them are not very happy with him. And they had a good, you know, match against him. They did their part, but of course they lost because really you're going to go against Jesus? Come on. So they couldn't handle Jesus. They left. Jesus went to pray, most likely. Whenever Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives, either because he didn't have a place in the city, or I believe personally that he went there to pray. They gather again. He goes to the temple early in the morning. Okay? Early in the morning he goes, and a group of people gather around him. They gather to learn from him. Just like we come before God, whether Tuesday, Wednesday, or Sunday, or whenever you hear a message, you're listening because you want to hear the word of God. You experience something different from the world. You know, when Jesus speaks, when God's speaking to your heart, you're experiencing something different. So a huge crowd comes, and they want to listen to Jesus again. And the Pharisees and the group, the religious leaders who are supposed to be encouraging that act, you know, encouraging them to listen to God, they come and interrupt the whole thing. They come and bring to him a woman who was caught in adultery, okay? And they said, we caught her, she was doing that, there is no way out. They became the accusers and they became the witnesses at the same time. And we're going to talk in a minute about how to have a full case, the full case against this woman. And what do you say? Moses told us in the law, she should die right now. And not just any death, they should stone her. Meaning that they will tie her hands, and then they will either have her halfway buried to the ground, and they would stone her, or have her on a higher thing, like about 10 feet high, push her down, and if she falls down and breaks her neck, that's fine. If not, they would grab a big rock and just finish her life on the spot. So hateful and so vicious that the things they wanted to do to this poor woman. They wanted to catch Jesus. Jesus was being accused, and as always, a lot of times those Pharisees and high priests and the priest, they do things without knowing that they're actually helping Jesus. Remember at the cross before he was about to be crucified, one of them said something significant. He said, isn't it better for one person to die than the whole nation to perish? So they're trying to accuse Jesus here, not knowing that's what he came to do. He came to take this woman's place. He came to take your place and my place. Amen? So they're trying to get Jesus in trouble because if Jesus says, no, don't stone her, then Jesus is against the law of Moses, or the law that Moses gave, right? And then everyone will turn against him, okay? But if he says, no, don't go ahead and stone her, that means that message of tenderness, that message of kindness, the forgiveness, the mercy, the grace that he's been talking about, are completely out of the window. Because now everyone is going to associate Jesus with the death of that woman. And let me tell you, they were going to be quick to destroy her life. And also, if he said yes, then he's taken a position as a judge, a civil judge, that's not his position, which would get him in trouble. Also, it would get him in trouble with the Romans' authority. So in any way, they were trying to get Jesus in trouble. Jesus then does what he does best. He restores everyone. And I mean everyone. So today, I haven't started my message yet. So today, I have 3 points for you. And as my pastor would always say, that means absolutely nothing. 3 words for you. I'm going to talk to you about the broken promise. Then I'm going to talk to you about the broken case. And then finally, we're going to end with the broken heart. The broken promise first. Verse 3, it says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. She was caught in adultery, meaning that she was actually committing that act. So before we move on further, we have to admit and we have to come to this place that she did commit adultery, that she was sinning. But for her to be in that place, she was promised something. There had to be a promise for her to be involved in that act. Whether that promise, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a promise of companionship. Maybe a promise of love and affection. Maybe a promise of money. Whatever promise she was giving, that promise did not deliver. When that man approached her, or when that relationship, when that thing happened, there was a promise to both parties. In her case, now she is finding herself all alone. What happened to the promises? What happened to what you told me? And let me tell you, and I gotta emphasize on this, because the same fake promises are still being spread among us, still being spread among all human beings. Because the same spreader, the same person who spread that fake promise to her, is spreading the same promises to all of us. The father of all lies. The same person who Jesus talked about, listen to this, in John 8:44. Jesus was talking, he said, to the Pharisees and those leaders, he said, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Meaning that he invented lies. So the first thing we want to look at today, that the enemy and the world are still good at making false promises. They're still spreading the false promises to you and I to this day. So that woman, do not look at her and say, "Oh, well, she's committing adultery. I'm not in that place." That's great. I'm happy for you. But you still received some kind of false promise from the enemy. And because of that false promise, you are committing your sins. Or you are being attracted to those sins. He invented lies, and those lies are spreading until this day. So please examine your heart before God. We all receive those fake promises or false promises and lies. Some of us receive them directly, in a direct way, and others receive it in an indirect way. The serpent went to Eve and listened to what she said to her. Okay? "You will not certainly die." When she was trying to convince her to eat from that fruit. And Eve said, "Well, if I eat from this, I will die." God said, "If I eat from this, I'll die." Listen to what the serpent said. And the same promises are made until this day. "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." If you eat from this, you'll not die. If you lie, you're not going to die. If you lust, you're not going to die. If you steal, if you cheat, if you do this and this and this, you're not going to die. Look, you did it before. Everyone is doing it. Nothing is going to happen to you. You know what? These are the direct promises that the enemy gives you. You can sin and there are no consequences. You're still going to be okay. You're still going to be fine. Not only that, but your eyes will be open. Right now, you're blind. You're blind to what life has to offer. There is so much life to live. Have you heard that before? There is so much fun to be had. Have you heard that before? Why are you so uptight? Just let loose and enjoy yourself. The enemy is so good at making us feel like we're not having fun or we're not enjoying our lives because we're obeying the word of God. Making these false promises. Not only that, and you're not going to be separated from God. You're just going to be like God. That's even better. That's even better. Right now, you know, he's God and you're you. But if you do this, you will be like God. You will participate in something that he does very well, which is calling shots. You know, saying to this exist and it will exist, speaking things into existing. So now you will take matters into your own hands and you will be your own God. And you will be like God. You're not going to die. You're going to live forever. This thing that you are telling me not that you don't want to do, this will give you the life that you want. Not only that, But you will know the difference between good and evil. You will know when to stop. Have you heard that before? You will know when to stop. We don't know when to stop. What happened when she believed her? She was left naked, shameful, and outside. She lived outside of God's plan for her life. These are the direct promises. I want you to examine your heart, and I want to examine my heart today. Because if we're going to do this right, we need to go back to the basis. We need to go back that, yes, there was a sin that was committed. Yes, there is a sin in my life. And that sin, there was a promise. That's why I committed this sin. There was a promise that was directly given to me from the enemy or from someone the enemy used. Sometimes we go after promises that were indirectly given to us. Really quick, because I don't want to take too much in these areas. When Lot was walking with Abraham, his uncle, and a little argument happened between their shepherds, two huge businessmen. It could have been handled, but Lot looks at Sodom and Gomorrah, and he goes, whoa, that looks good. Okay? It looks so green. This is where I can find prosperity. This is where I can find success. This is where I can build future to my children. This is the place I want to go to. In Genesis 13:10, it says, Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered like the garden of the Lord. This looks heavenly. Have you guys had my heavenly chicken? It was very similar to that, like, you know, the same description, but I make this heavenly chicken. You should have it. It's amazing. So it looks like the garden of the Lord. It looks like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted ways, meaning Abraham and Lot left. This was that indirect promise. When you look at something that the world is offering and you're like, that's what I want to do. This is where I want to go. This is the life that I want to live. And the world is so good. Let me tell you, people in advertising make billions and billions of dollars trying to get you and me to buy into this world. I'm not saying that their jobs are wrong or anything. That's not what I'm saying. You know, God bless them. But what I'm saying, this world is so good at making everything sound much better than it is. And then you go in, and then Lot goes there, he leaves his uncle, he leaves the presence of God, and what happens to him? Exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. He finds himself alone, he loses his land, he loses his family, he loses his possessions. He was going there for prosperity, and then he ends up losing everything. These are the fake and broken promises of the enemy. He promises you something, he promises me something, he makes it look good for you and I to go after it, and then we find ourselves standing in the middle, naked, ashamed, and about to die. We find ourselves standing by ourselves. Where are all the promises? Where are the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? Where is my partner that promised me life? Where is this? Where is that? Where is? And you keep looking around, and there is absolutely, absolutely nothing. It's been the same lie over and over and over. May God communicate this to you and to me today, that all the promises that are coming from the enemy, whether directly or indirectly, are all broken promises, because they're coming from the inventor of lies. See, when God invented everything, he invented everything beautiful. And when the enemy invented anything, it was all horrible. And lying is one of them. It's actually the beginning of them. So may God help us today. Examine your heart before God. Please examine your heart before God for all these broken promises. Now we're going to get into the message of the broken case. Okay? A broken case. So here is their case. And they said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such woman. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. In order for a conviction to happen, you need the accusers. Okay, like a prosecutor, is that? Yeah. Accusers. You need the witnesses. There has to be a crime, obviously. And, there is the law that supports that this is a crime. And there has to be a judge. All of these elements have to be there. So they came with the crime. They came with the law. They came as the prosecutors, or the accusers. And they came as witnesses as well. And we want to put Jesus now as the judge. What will you say? So Jesus bent down and started writing on the ground. I don't know what he wrote. And no one knows by the way he wrote. Okay? There are a lot of suggestions, and I respect all of them. But all I know is that he wrote. All I know is that he wrote. Listen to this again. All I know is that he wrote. Just like he wrote 66 books that he's given to you and me. Just like when the enemy came to trick him, when the enemy came to tempt him, he used what? He used the word. He wrote something for you and I to use. And when he was being attacked, he bowed down and started writing. I don't know what he wrote. I don't know if he wrote something from Isaiah or Psalms or from Genesis. I don't know what he wrote, but he wrote. So next time you and I start wondering, let's get to the written word. Let's get to the word of God. Jesus himself used it in all of his situations, in all of his battles. I think you and I should learn from Jesus himself and learn from that and use the word of God. He did what he always did. He went to the word of God. Jesus straightened up. They kept questioning him over and over. What should we do? They wanted an answer, man. They wanted an answer. And the way the Bible wrote this, that they weren't going to give up until they receive an answer. So Jesus replies to them, "Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Number one. You guys ready? Number one, search your heart. As an individual, not as a group. See, they're coming, bunch of lawyers, bunch of, priests and, good, well-educated people, wearing the fancy suits and all of that stuff. They're coming as a group against him, personally or against her. But we know that they were coming against him, right? So instead of you coming to me as a group, instead of hiding behind the priest, instead of hiding behind that lawyer, instead of hiding behind the crowd, I want you individually to examine your heart, see where your heart is. I want you to individually assess this situation. Don't hide with the crowd. Don't follow the crowd because the crowd is not going to help you. When God is looking at your heart, our hearts, he's not saying, Arise is a good church, so everyone who goes to Arise is going to heaven. That will never happen. I know you want it to happen, and I want it to happen, but that will never happen. It will never look at a denomination and say, that denomination, they're great. You know what? Bring everyone to heaven. That will never happen. Being a part of a group does not guarantee you or me anything. What guarantees you and me eternal life is having a personal relationship with Jesus. And now we need to examine our own hearts. So let's stop the act. Let's stop hiding behind people. And let's examine our heart and say, let me see where I am as a believer. Let me see where my relationship with God is. Do I have that personal relationship with God? Or I am trying to be the grandson of God? Because he doesn't have grandchildren, as much as we wanted to, but he doesn't. So, first, let's take a look at ourselves. Let's search our hearts. In Luke 6:41, listen to this. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. God is asking us to examine our hearts first. Stop hiding behind people. Stop trying to put a front. Stop trying to convince ourselves and others that we're doing good. Let's examine our heart and let God do what He does best, change our hearts. But I have good news. I have good news. With every one of those, I'm going to give you good news. Only Jesus can give us sight. In that same chapter, actually the following verse, 8:12, after this, he says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, I know you can't see it right now. I know you have that plank, or, you know, in your eye right now. I know you're blinded right now, but if you want true light, you need to follow me. You know, this is a promise that he made, and this is not a broken promise. This is a promise that he made, and everyone who followed Jesus can testify. One of them is right here, right now, can testify, since the second you follow Jesus, you will see but nothing but light. Amen? So the first thing, he wanted them to examine their own hearts. He didn't want them to hide behind, you know, the group, but to come individually. He said, any of you who? He wants one, everyone. So I'm going to look, you know, should I be the first one? Well, let me examine my heart. It didn't work. And then the second thing is, without sin. He did not tell them, any of you who did not commit adultery, or any of you who did not lust, or any of you who did not steal, any of you without sin. And let me tell you, they absolutely cannot say that we are without sin. Because if they say that we are without sin, then why are you sacrificing? Then why is there an altar? Then why are you taking the lamb? And why are you practicing things that you practice day and night? Then you need to go back to Psalm and say, surely, when it says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Then you need to go back to the chapter of David's Psalms and tear it out, because you're saying that you're not sinful. Jesus wanted to address the main issue. The main issue isn't the adultery or the this or that. The main issue is sin. The main issue that we lift God, we lift the plan that God has for us, we lift the design that God gave us, we lift God in general, and as soon as we leave God's presence or God's plan, there is no end to what we're going to do. The first problem that we need to address, are you with sin or are you without sin? I have good news as well. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So yes, we all sinned. We all sinned. We all left God. We all went our own way. We all left his way. But I have good news for you. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So this was good news to them just as much as good news to that woman that's standing there. This is good news for all of them, and this is good news for all of us, because we were all born in sin. But thank God, there is someone that paid the full price for all of us. And then he said, be the first to throw a stone at her. If you still think that you're without sin, if you examined your heart and you found out that you're good, go ahead and stone her. But remember, the same measurement you use against other people will be used against you. In Matthew 7, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measures you use, it will be measured to you. So Jesus put in front of them a measurement. Okay, if you want to stone her because she has sin, if you want to stone her, just remember, if you also have sin, you're setting up that measurement for yourself. You're setting up that method for yourself as well. Is that what you want to do? Is that what you want to do, judging your brothers and sisters? Is that what you want to do when you look at someone and you say, they shouldn't come to church anymore? Is that what you want to do when you look at someone and you say, and they're horrible, the word of God will never reach them, and I gave up on them? Is that what you want to do? I think I told you guys this story when the kids were young and we were teaching them the word of God. I think they were like 5 or 6. I wanted to deliver this to them, and I wanted them to learn it at a young age. So we brought them to the dining table, and we bought jars of ice cream, and we brought those spoons that are different sizes. You know, a big spoon, you know, that set of spoons that you measure like ingredients with. Like one of them is this big, and then smaller and smaller and smaller until the smallest one. And I'm like, okay, you each have a jar of ice cream. Use one of these spoons to give your sibling some of your ice cream. Okay? So right away, everyone is going to the smallest one. And I'm like, but be careful. The same spoon that you're going to give your sibling is the same spoon you will receive from your sibling. So they're like, what? No, I want to give with the smallest spoon, and I want to receive with the biggest spoon. You know, that's what we do. That's what we do as human beings. We measure differently for other people. So Jesus said, if you want to measure, if you want to stone her, then that's the measurement. If you want the law and no mercy, then that's what you choose. Is that what you want to choose today? Good news as well for you. And Isaiah 53, listen to this, please. Isaiah 53, it says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, was on him. And by his wounds we were healed. I have that good news for you today, that someone paid the price for us. Someone took the punishment. You and I are living in peace in this moment right now because someone was punished for us. Jesus refused to be the judge for her. And he still kept sticking with the word of God. He bowed down again and started writing again. It doesn't mean that you use the word of God once, it means everything is going to be fine. Twice, it doesn't mean everything is going to be fine. This is the third time. First time, we don't know what he wrote, but he did write something. Second time, he spoke it. So now we have the second time, and now there's the third time. Remember the 3 temptations that he had? It was also 3 times. It doesn't mean that you win once or twice, it means it's over. No, the enemy is going to keep coming. And you got to keep coming with your weapon. You got to keep coming with what God has given you. The word of God is enough to convict them and set that woman free. And they all, one after one, started leaving. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older first. So, are you guys ready now for good news? You are? Good. Because I have great news for you right now. The witnesses now are gone. The witnesses that were standing there the prosecutors are now gone. The witnesses are gone. And the sin was paid for. As we read, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then the law was fulfilled. The law was not tricked. The law was not ignored. The law was not removed. Sin is sin. But the law was fulfilled. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrated his love for us while we were sinners. Christ died on the cross for us. Amen? The judge, who was supposed to be a judge, became our attorney. Listen to this. In Romans 8:34, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. He was supposed to be a judge. He chose to be our attorney. He was supposed to be the one who judged us, but he said, I am going to defend them. I am going to take care of their case for them. So, can you please today say with me that this case, I have no witnesses, I have no prosecutor, sin was paid, fallen for, and there is no judge. I have no case. Can you please tell me, if there is a judge in court right now, there is no prosecutor, there are no witnesses, and there is no crime because someone took care of it, what will the judge say? The case is dismissed. This is my news for you today, that your case is dismissed, that you are no longer under any condemnation, that you are now free to go. When I get a ticket and go to court and the police officer doesn't show up, and it's only the police officer who doesn't show up, the judge says what? You're free to go. You're dismissed. Now it's not only the officer who's not showing up. The officer is not showing up. The witnesses are not showing up. And we have something that was already taken care of and paid for, and the judge turned out to be my father who said, I will take care of this for you. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. If this doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. Not only that, but this woman, you and I today, this moment was meant for her death. Jesus somehow turned it into life. It turned into life. This captivity that she was in, she was captured, she was full of shame, became the moment that gave her release and freedom for the rest of her life. The shame turned into praise, and her nakedness turned into everlasting covering. Not a covering by clothes, not covering by brands, it's covering by Jesus himself. Can I get a louder amen to that? This just makes me so happy. The loneliness that she had that day when she was standing in the middle, all eyes on her, and I'm not talking about Tupac, all eyes on her, judging her and wanting to get a piece of her so bad just to fulfill their anger, to fulfill their anger and their hatred. That loneliness turned into company with Jesus himself. I know I ran out of time, but you can give me 5 more minutes. Great. The pastor has spoken. So, now I'm going to talk to you about the broken heart. Are you ready? Okay, so at this, who heard began to go away, and Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" No one, sir, she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." A broken heart does not leave Jesus. Let me tell you this. Everyone left. And if I am that woman's position, can you imagine being caught in this sin? Being brought to the temple. Everyone is looking at you. The first thing you want to do is just disappear. The first thing you want to do, you just want to run and hide. Everyone was running and everyone left. She can be free to go, but a broken heart knows that the only way to life right now is with Jesus, even if I'm completely naked in front of him. Even if I am completely stripped out of everything I ever thought that covered me. The only way to get to Jesus is to have that broken heart. Listen to what Psalm 34 says. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who crushed in spirit. We come to God, and sometimes with our titles, with our positions, with everything that we have, and forget that we need to be brokenhearted before him. We need to be as close as we can to him. In Psalm 5:7, it says, "My sacrifice today," what is it? What are you sacrificing today? Are you putting money in the offering? Are you going to preach a message? Are you going to, what is your sacrifices today? Oh God, is a broken spirit and a contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. She understood that a broken heart stays with Jesus because that's what Jesus likes. He likes those broken hearts because he and only he can mend and work with those hearts. A broken heart answers Jesus and declares victory with him. Are you guys ready for this one? He asked her, "Where is everyone? Where is everyone? Has anyone condemned you?" She said, "No, sir. No, sir." She said, could you have the courage today? Could you have the courage today to say that they're all gone? Could you have the courage before you leave today and after you leave that you say that I heard it today, not from me, that I heard today that my case is dismissed? Do you have the courage tomorrow when you go to school or when you go to work and the same thing that you've done for years and years and years is coming back at you and you say, you have no business doing business with me because my case is dismissed. I was under that slavery. I was under that bondage for so long, but I have been dismissed. Do you have the courage to say that? Do you have the courage to say what she said? No, I don't see anyone. They're all gone. Ain't no one accusing me anymore. I don't see a case against me anymore. I am not the same person who was caught and brought here just an hour ago. Can I hear that from you today? Can God hear from you that today? Because let me tell you, He paid a precious price for you to say those words. He paid such a heavy price for you and I can say, no one, sir. Whew. Could I hear you? Could you have the courage to say that you are free? Could you speak it out loud with David? Psalm 124, listen to this. In Psalm 124 it says, we have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. Not only that, the snare has been broken and we have escaped. Can you say that with David today? That the snare that the hunter, that the snare that your enemy had on you, not only that you escaped it, but it's been broken. That you can go step on it once and twice and you can dance, you can do whatever it is you do, it's been broken. God broke the snare, didn't only set you free, but He paid and He condemned sin when He was raised from dead. Death, sin, whatever it is, has no authority over you or me again. Again, one more time, no one, sir. No one is here. No one is here. I can't see anyone right now. A broken heart receives Jesus' word, then neither do the word of release, then neither I condemn you. Jesus is not condemning you. He is actually being your attorney. Not only that, but He said, go now and leave your life of sin. And when Jesus says something, it's not like when I say something. When He says something, He has power behind it. So when He stands in front of that grave and says, Lazarus, come out. He had the power to give life to that dead man who's been dead for so many days. He had the power to say whatever it is that He's going to say, He's actually going to do it. When He goes to that lame man and says, I am telling you, get up, and he's never walked a day in his life. When He says, I am telling you to get up, guess what? He has power behind His words. When He says, go and show yourself to the priest that you are now cleansed, that now you are clean, He has the power that when you go show yourself, you are actually cleansed and clean. So now when He is telling that beautiful woman, go and live away from sin, or go, don't live this life of sin again, or leave the life of sin again, He has the power to make that happen. So today when you're leaving, you take that word with you. Today when you're leaving, know that God has the power to make you leave the life of sin. God has the power to make you give up all these things that you have tried for so long to give up and you couldn't. How many times did you commit and how many times did you fall? Today, God has the power to make this happen for you today. I know you and I heard so many fake promises before. I know you and I received so many false promises before. I know you're looking right back and you're probably standing alone right now, thinking about some of them, feeling shame and feeling embarrassment and feeling like, how did I do that? Don't worry, because we have a Savior here. We have a Savior that broke the case against you. Not only that, He is standing right here with you because He wants to give you that last word. He wants you to hear that last word. The last word is, go and leave that life of sin. Are we ready today? Can we make God's heart happy today? It says that heaven will rejoice when one sinner returns to Him. Can we have someone today, can we have the whole church today stand in faith and ask God to come and be our attorney today? Can we accept his invitation today? Can we take his word today and believe it and go out and declare it? Can we say today, can we have the courage today that we are free? The snare has been broken. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's not look at the past. Let's not look at the past. Let's not look at everything that happened in the past, because today is a new day. Today you're going to jump out of here. You're going to walk out of here jumping. Today you're going to walk out of here, those words ringing in your heart. Today you're going to walk out of here with new words written on your heart. Jesus' fingers are working on your heart right now. He is writing something new. He is writing something new today. Today your story is going to take a whole new turn in Jesus' name. Today he's not your judge. He's your attorney. He dismissed your case. And now he's ready to be your shepherd. Now he's ready to take this journey with you. Now he's ready to make you whole again, to restore you to what you were meant to be. Today he's ready to open your eyes. So when you see or when you hear those false promises, those broken promises, you will realize right away and you say, get away from me, Satan. Today you will be using the word of God. You'll be using the word of God to win your battles. In Jesus' name. Today is a new day for all of us. A miracle will happen in your life today. A miracle will happen in your life today in Jesus' name. Take the next few minutes and pray. Take the next few minutes and say, Lord, I believe you. I believe you. I've received so many promises that I don't know what to believe anymore. I believed everything that was a lie. But today I'm putting my life, I'm surrendering my life to you. And I'm receiving only your words. I'm going to meditate on your word from now on, because that's the only way I can know what are the lies and what's the truth. Today I accept your word that I'm going to go and leave the life of sin and live with you. Live the life of righteousness with you. Take a few minutes. It's between you and God. Everyone is gone. Everything is gone. Your case is dismissed. And right now, just spend a few minutes with God.